Question from Keshav Prabhu. If Lord Shiva has the qualities of Lord Vishnu, why not worship him as God on equal level as Lord Vishnu? This is based on 8.7 in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the chapter where Lord Shiva saves the universe by drinking poison. And Prabhupada explains that whatever prayers for protection offered to Lord Shiva, actually Lord Vishnu is indicated. And in later verses it is said that even Lord Vishnu does not know the glories of Lord Shiva. And further comment is, Srila Prabhupada has given very short purports on this verse and these verses, which apparently contradict and show that Lord Shiva is supreme. He could have commented on them extensively. And if it is true, then that whenever Lord Shiva is glorified, actually Lord Vishnu is being glorified. And this thing holds evidence from scriptures, then that will end the fight between Vaishnavites and Shaivites. Answer. Firstly, regarding the specifics of the position of Lord Shiva, I have answered that question elaborately in what is the position of Lord Shiva. So I will not go into the technical details over there. Please hear that answer. I will look at the specific points which you have mentioned in these purports. So the relationship between Lord Shiva and Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu is Achintya Bheda Abhed. Now, even in the Achintya Bheda Abhed, so Abhed means non-difference, Bhed means difference. So depending on the level of the particular devata being manifested, the bhed will be less and the abhed will be more. So with respect to Indra, who is an administrative demigod who changes with every manvantara, Indra also has some powers of Vishnu, but they are much lesser than what are present in Brahmaji, and that which in turn are lesser than what is present in Shiva. So it is explained in the Bhakta Samvada Sindhu based on the Puranas that Lord Vishnu manifests 60 qualities, Lord Shiva manifests 55, Lord Brahmaji manifests 50. So now, to the extent that 50 qualities are manifested, in that sense the 50 qualities of Vishnu are there in Brahmaji. So Brahmaji in that sense is abhed from Vishnu. But because there are some qualities that are not manifested, so there is bhed also. So now the bheda bhed with respect to Vishnu and Shiva is the closest, because Lord Shiva manifests maximum qualities that are manifested by Lord Vishnu. So whereas Brahmaji manifests 50, Lord Shiva manifests 55 of the 60 qualities manifested by Vishnu. Now moving forward, in the Vedic scriptures there is a particular hermeneutics. Hermeneutics means an interpreting strategy that is to be used for understanding whatever we need to understand. So this is in the Karma Mimamsa tradition, which is used by all the six systems of philosophy to understand a scripture. It is called as Tatparya Linga. Tatparya is meaning, and Linga is the key to the meaning. So Tatparya Linga is basically a tool by which we can understand. So Upakramo Upasamhara Abhyasa Purva Purvata Phalam Arthavodpatti Cha Lingam Tatparya Nirnaye. So Upakrama Upasamhara Abhyasa Apurvata Phalam. Upakrama is the beginning, Upasamhara is the end. Then apurvata is uniqueness. Then phala, what is given as the result, what is given as the conclusion. Arthavad upapatti. So there is glorification and there is illustration. So these six are to be considered indicators. Linga is indicator of the tatparya, of the meaning. So now, if we have to understand the meaning of the Bhagavatam, we have to understand it by looking at all these six. We cannot just take one verse out of the context. Even if that verse we spoken by Lord Krishna himself. You know, we see Lord Krishna speaks in the Govardhan Lila time that actually by our own karma we get the results. And there's no need to worship any devatas. Now he is doing it just to incite Indra, to test Indra basically, and to free Indra from his pride. So, even when Krishna speaks something, that may not be the conclusion if that is not in the context. So when Krishna is speaking with the Vrajavasis, he is not speaking as a philosophical teacher giving philosophical conclusions. Even Krishna, when he is having normal conversations, may sometimes speak something which are more suitable for the purpose of the conversation. So, even Krishna's words may not be conclusive if we do not see them in the proper context. So, if we look at these six characteristics which are given, upakrama, what is the beginning? The beginning starts very clearly with Satyam Param Dhimahi. I meditate on the absolute truth. And if you look at the first few verses, it becomes clear over the verses that the absolute truth that is being referred to is Lord Vishnu. Certainly, Parikshit Maharaj is devoted to Vishnu Ratha. And Parikshit Maharaj, if you look at the end of the Bhagavatam, then also it is described that Devanam Achyutebhyo Yataha. That among all the devatas, Achyuta is to be worshipped. And again, it is described that all the devatas are worshipping Lord Achyuta. So this will be a whole class. I won't go into the full class right now. I'm just giving a broad understanding of the principles. So I cannot give it. This is elaborately analyzed by Jiva Goswami in Sandarbhas. So Abhyasa is the repetition. What is specifically repeated? If you look at every canto, practically the supremacy of Lord Vishnu is talked about. Apurvata, what is the uniqueness? That is the distinctness of the Srimad Bhagavatam, is the 90 chapters of the Krishna Leela. This is such a detailed and vivid description of Krishna's intimate pastimes. It is not so easily found in the other Puranas. And especially Krishna Madhuri Leela pastimes are uniqueness. So, and then praise and illustrations. Now if you look at the number of times when there are pastimes demonstrating Vishnu's supremacy, or there are prayers offered to Lord Vishnu, they are the most prominent in the Bhagavatam. So when we look at these six characteristics, it will be very clear that it is Vishnu who is supreme. Now, within the context of certain pastimes, to illustrate certain principles, certain things are spoken in a particular way. For example, in the 7th canto, it is said that Lakshmi Devi also could not recognize Narasimha Dev. How is that possible? Lakshmi Devi is the eternal consort of Narasimha Dev, and she resides eternally with him in the spiritual world. So how could she have not recognized her own Lord? Now, actually, at that point it is described to emphasize the glory of Prahlad Maharaj as a devotee, as the unparalleled devotee of the Lord in that particular pastime. It is said that even Lakshmi Devi could not pacify Narasimha Dev. It was when everybody else in the world failed, it was Prahlad Maharaj who pacified Narasimha Dev. So every Leela has a particular mood, and we have to understand the mood of the Leela to understand its teachings in the proper context. Otherwise, if we look at the Leela without the mood and the purpose of the Leela, then we can misunderstand. So, in this particular pastime, it is not that Prahlad Maharaj is a greater devotee than Lakshmi Devi, but the Lord wanted Prahlad Maharaj's extraordinary devotion to be demonstrated, and that's why Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in his commentary, Sararatha Darshini, and Srila Prabhupada also hints at it, that Yogamaya covered Lakshmi Devi, although Lakshmi Devi and Yogamaya are the same person in one sense, so that Prahlad Maharaj's glory could be manifested to the whole world. Same way, in that same canto, 7th canto, it's described that, say, Narad Muni himself had to bow down to Hiranyakashipu because of his austerities. Sorry, because of his threats and torments. Because of his power. But Prahlad did not bow down. Narad Muni is the guru of Prahlad Maharaj. So is it that the disciple is greater than the guru? No, again, the same principle. Narad Muni always cooperated with the will of the Lord so that the greatness of Prahlad Maharaj could be demonstrated. So now coming to this particular pastime, in this pastime, the Lord wanted to demonstrate it, the glory of Lord Shiva. And that's why he arranged for Lord Shiva to drink poison. Now, if we look at this same canto, this is chapter 7, and chapter 12, what happens? Chapter 12, Lord Shiva gets bewildered by Mohini Murthy. And Mohini Murthy is Lord Vishnu himself. And then, what are the prayers that Lord Shiva offers over there at the end of it all? The prayers that Lord Shiva offers is saying that you are my Lord, and just see how glorious is my Lord that he can bewilder even me. Nobody else can bewilder me. So, in general, if we look at the full canto, the message is not so confusing. In this particular story, the glory of Lord Shiva is mentioned so that to demonstrate his compassion. Now, when Srila Prabhupada explains that when in prayers Lord Shiva is glorified as if he is supreme, then those prayers are meant for Lord Vishnu. What does it mean? It means two things over here. First is that because there is the bhed-abhed conception, the prayers offered to Lord Shiva, especially when they are offered with the understanding that he is supreme, with the purport that he is supreme, then that is actually directed towards the supreme Lord. So I have answered a question about proper nouns and common nouns. I will mention it briefly over here. The word Shiva can refer to the person Shiva, and the word Shiva can also refer to the quality Shiva of auspiciousness. And this quality Shiva of auspiciousness is present in the optimum, in the maximum rather, in Lord Vishnu. That's why one of the names of Lord Vishnu is Shiva in the Vishnu Sahasranam. Sarva Sharva Shiva Sthanur Bhuta Dirnidiram Vyaya. So Shiva is auspicious. So there are times when Lord Shiva will be referred to by his proper name as Shiva, and that time it is Shiva the person being referred to. But when prayers are being offered, it is actually to the quality of Shivatva that is manifested through the personality named Shiva. And that Shivatva is coming from Krishna. So, Srila Madhvacharya in Vishnu Tattva Nirnaya explains that Sarvanamavan. That actually Vedanta Sutra also maintains it. Etena sarve vyakhyata vyakhyataha. Etena sarve. It is that one absolute truth who is referred to by all names. So, Sarvanamavan means Lord Vishnu is the possessor of all names. So, all names refer primarily to him and secondarily to other people who may also have those names. So, in this case, the devatas, when they want to beseech Lord Shiva's help, they understand that Lord Shiva is not going to get that help, offer them the help by his own prowess. So, it is he who is manifesting the Lord's prowess over there for them. So, because he is a manifestation of the Lord's prowess at that particular time, so he is glorified accordingly over there. Now, regarding Lord Vishnu also not knowing Krishna's, Shiva's greatness or glory, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that Lord Vishnu does not need to know. And he quotes from the Bhagavad Gita very clearly over there that Matsthani Sarvabhutani comes in 9.4 and 9.5 says Nache Matsthani Bhutani. So Krishna says, I am situated in all living beings, and then he says, I am not situated in all living beings. Why this difference? Because Krishna, when he is personally in the spiritual world, he doesn't have to be aware of the material world. He is aware of the pastime that is happening in the spiritual world, and as the Paramatma, as his expansion, he is aware of the material world. But not as the Lord Vishnu over there. So, not in his form in which he is performing pastimes, he doesn't have to be simultaneously aware of everything that is happening in the material world. So, from that perspective, what this verse means is that you don't, your greatness is pervasive of the material world, the prayer is offered to Lord Shiva, and because Lord Vishnu is in the spiritual world, so even he does not know about your glories. So is this in an absolute sense? Whenever we see any statement that seems to contradict that's the overall message of the scripture, then we have to look at the context. So if you look at a Tatparyalinga, then obviously this verse does not stand the test of Tatparyalinga. So we have to understand the context. So in the context, Prabhupada explained that on the concept of Vibhuti, a particular manifestation of the Lord, in order to be glorified in a particular pastime, may be glorified in specific ways. So, are there evidences from other scriptures? I gave two examples, Itina Sarva Vakhyata Vakhyata and Sarva Namavan, these two references. But the important point is that when it comes to a matter of emotional attachment to a particular devata, quoting scriptures itself is not adequate. So if there are Shaivites who are worshipping Lord Shiva faithfully, as devotees we don't have to drag them away from Shiva worship and force them to worship Krishna. No. We have to recognize that. That is how they are feeling inspired, and that is how they, Lord, by Lord Shiva's grace, they will be elevated. So Lord, it is described that Lord Shiva chants the names of Lord Ram in the ears of those who die at Varanasi, and that's how they get elevated. So again, the point is that if they are worshipping Lord Shiva and if they are doing it properly, then Lord Shiva will elevate them. So the conflicts between Shaivites and Vaishnavites are because everybody is, because those who are having the conflict are at the material level of consciousness. They are trying to, at the material level, compete about my God is superior or your God is superior. When he was going on South India tour, when he saw this kind of conflict among Vaishnavas and Shaivites, he just laughed and he left the place. He did not try to prove at that point that Shaivites are wrong and Vaishnavas are right. No, we have to understand that if a particular person is worshipping a particular devata in a particular mood, then we understand that is happening by the will of the Lord, and we pray that that person gets elevated gradually towards spiritual advancement. If the person is open to understanding higher truths, then definitely we can give him the higher truths. But if he's not, then we should be ready to understand that Krishna will elevate them gradually. And we can offer prayers for that person's elevation. So you can hear the class on why do we call Krishna as supreme, and the other answer also on, you know, if we can worship, if we can go back to God by chanting the names of Allah or Christ, then why not by chanting the names of Shiva and Ganesh? This is for the proper noun, common noun, and you can get a proper understanding. But here I'll summarize the points which I have made. First point is the abhed. Second point is the tatparyalinga to understand the meaning, and third is the context of this particular verse, which clearly indicates the intent of glorifying Lord Shiva in this particular pastime. It is not to glorify Lord Shiva as supreme, absolutely speaking. And lastly, regarding the using scripture to end the conflict between Shaivites and Vaishnavites, you know, if people are ready to hear, then we can surely explain to them. Otherwise, we don't have to try to. If people are emotionally attached to a particular form of the Lord, then we can encourage them to continue that way, and by that way they will get elevated. There are many devotees who were following Lord Shiva, and they gradually came to Lord Krishna's lotus feet. So his name is Radhanath Maharaj is one example, Radhishyam Prabhu is another example, and there are many other examples like that. So Lord Shiva knows what is best, whether a person can be elevated immediately to the Vishnu worship of Lord Vishnu, or whether he himself will gradually elevate that person. And if somebody is worshipping Lord Shiva, we shouldn't try to impose the worship of Lord Vishnu on that person, but we can try to give that person the understanding based on scriptures. Person is not ready, then let Lord Shiva take care of him. He is in that way also in safe hands. And we can pray that that person can gradually be elevated to, or quickly be elevated to, depending on the plan of the Lord, to the worship of Lord Vishnu. Thank you.